Welcome to Bedtime Fairy Fails. I'm Kim. This story was made possible in part by the live play D&D podcast, All D20. We'll tell you a little more about them after the show.
Warning. This episode is an after bedtime fairy fail. And you know what happens after bedtime. That's right. Cursing. And sex stuff. And exploding body parts and other... Just make sure your kids don't listen, I guess. No more bleeps.
Better put them kids to bed?
Yeah, listen to her.
This after bedtime fairy fails comes from Tristan in Livingston, Texas. This is a story you can just shove right up your ass. This is...
Staph Infection.
Once upon a time, a group of adventurers were making their way through a dungeon when they fell down into a deep pit. I don't know much about how they ended up in the pit, but I'd hope it was covered or disguised in some way.
Well, maybe they were all just dumbasses.
Either way, that's the situation they've gotten themselves into. So now they have to figure out how to get back out of the hole. Let's meet our literally fallen heroes. First, we have a dwarf fighter who refuses to tell anyone his real name, a halfling ranger whose name is Rogue, a human paladin whose name the submitter forgot, so we're going to call him Pal, and the star of our story, an elf wizard named Luke Leaftea. So there they are, at the bottom of this deep pit, and they quickly realize there's no way to climb these walls. They're too muddy and slick to grab onto. They'll have to think of something else. No Name the Fighter says,
I have this hatchet here. Maybe we could tie a rope to it and throw it up to the top.
So they try that. They all take turns trying to get that hatchet to snag on something. But not one person was successful. They thought Pal might have had it at one point, but the rock he caught on quickly came dislodged and fell straight down onto his head.
Ow!
On to the next plan. Pal speaks up and says,
What if we just stand on each other's shoulders?
There's no way we'll be able to balance like that,
says Rogue the Ranger.
Well, we won't know until we try,
says an optimistic no-name. Rogue sighs and agrees as they begin their human tower. Pal stands at the base of the wall, then Luke climbs up on his shoulders. So far, so good. But then when No Name tried to climb the tower, he accidentally stepped on Pal's fingers, causing him to jerk his hand away. This in turn caused Luke to lose his balance, and the tower came toppling down.
Hold it,
says Rogue smugly.
I don't see you coming up with a better plan,
snaps No Name.
What if I can throw No Name up to the top,
says Pal.
You couldn't even throw a hatchet to the top. How are you gonna throw a dwarf?
Asks Rogue.
Yeah, I have to side with Rogue on this one,
says Luke.
I don't really think that's going to work.
Pal looks down at the ground, defeated, as they all continue brainstorming. They come up with a few more bad ideas before Luke comes up with the worst idea of all.
What if I get a running start, plant my staff in the ground, then jump off the top of it? Maybe I can get high enough to reach the top.
That's a terrible idea.
Encouraged by two of the three other party members, Luke walks way over to the other side of the pit. His eyes narrow as he looks up at the top, full of determination. The inspirational music is in full swing. He takes off running, staff held up over his shoulder, screaming his best version of a battle cry.
Yeah!
He reaches full speed, shoves his staff down into the ground, and swings himself up to leap off the top. But then, at the last second, he miscalculates the distance. poor Luke comes straight down on the staff. And by down, I mean Luke went down and the staff went up.
Huh?
You know, up.
Up or down? I'm confused.
Oh, she means the staff went up his asshole.
Ah! Oh, guys, help! Guys, I feel like a scarecrow. Somebody come get me down from here. Oh my God, my asshole, please, somebody help me!
As Luke lay on the ground, writhing in agony, Rogue walks off to examine the walls of the pit. For the first time, through all the crazy shit they thought of, this is the first time someone thought to examine the walls.
Hey guys, I found a hidden door!
Yells Rogue happily.
Are you fucking kidding me?
The end.
Hey, Kim, you wanted to see me?
Hey, yeah. So can you narrate this one?
No.
Come on, Ethan.
No. No.
Please?
This story comes from Jacob Manson. This is a story about a curse, a labyrinth, and an explosion. But not your typical explosion. This one is much, much more painful.
Hey, don't forget to say your name.
I'm Ethan. This is
Etsy's Testies.
Once upon a time, a party of heroes were searching for a certain gem. They needed it for something super important, like completing a quest to further a campaign story, or maybe they were just trying to break into the jewelry making business. Nah. Either way, that Etsy shop wasn't going to open itself, so the group makes it their mission to track it down. They searched high and low throughout the land, dungeon after dungeon, quest after quest, but still no gem. Just when they're ready to give up on their dream, they catch a break. An old wizard in a rundown tavern tells them that they would find the gem at the center of a giant cursed labyrinth, because of course that's where it is. So our heroes head off towards the deadly maze, ecstatic to finally know the location of the thing that they have been searching for all this time. When the heroes reach the labyrinth, they're greeted by an enormous stone wall that seems to stretch for miles. In the center is a large opening leading into the twisting hallways. The party stands there, staring for a few moments, before Drandar the half-elf sorcerer says,
"So, is there a plan? How do we even navigate this thing?"
"That's not even the hardest part. Remember what the wizard said about the curse? We won't be able to tell the difference between friend and foe. So how are we going to keep from killing each other by accident?"
Citri the wood elf druid replies,
"If you all had listened to me when I wanted to plan this out on the way here, we'd be prepared already. But no, you guys want to talk about marketing strategies for the Etsy shop, which doesn't help us get the gem."
"Shut up, third party member we made up because Jacob only gave us info on two of them,"
answers Drandar. "This is actually a pretty important point, though. The curse on the labyrinth means that no one will be able to know if they're looking at a terrible monster or their party member. They would need to make sure that they didn't accidentally slaughter themselves."
"I think the best thing we can do is just stick together and keep a count of how many of us there are,"
says Drandar.
"How many of us are there?"
"Two."
"I think you mean three."
"Oh, so I don't count?"
"Yeah, what about me?"
"And me? Who the fuck are these guys?"
Wait, so what's the total count?"
"It's unclear. We don't really know, but let's say four."
"Aww. Woohoo! I'm a character now!"
"Can we maybe get back to the story now?"
"Yes, please."
"Good. Let's try that again."
"I think the best thing we can do is just stick together and keep a count of how many of us there are,"
says Drandar.
"How many of us are there?"
"Four. There's four of us,"
answers Citri.
"So every few minutes, we stop and count to make sure there's still only four of us."
"What about finding our way through the maze?"
"We'll figure it out. As long as we stick together, we'll be fine,"
says a confident Drandar. So, finally ready to enter the labyrinth, the party of four heads inside. At first, it seems like their plan is working. They stick close together, stop to count every few minutes, and things seem to be going smoothly. Then, on the third count, they realize they're somehow down to three, which was not good.
Damn it! Who did we lose?
Asks Citri.
I don't know. You all just look like ghouls to me,
answers Drandar.
I'm still here,
answers the fourth character, who totally had a name.
Okay, so that means we lost the British guy?
Says Citri.
So, let's just be more careful from here on out.
And less than 3 minutes later, the whole party was separated. Drandar found himself wandering through the creepy labyrinth, completely alone. He made his way carefully around corners, afraid of running into monsters. Or worse, his friends that looked like monsters. He knows he can't call out to them, because the curse would make it impossible to tell the difference between his voice and a monster's. Drandar walked for what felt like miles in the maze, completely losing his way and having no idea where he was going. Finally, he heard something moving up ahead. He creeps around the corner and sees a monster standing in the hallway. Drandar freezes. He isn't sure if he should attack or not. It could be his friend, but then again, it could also be a real monster about to kill him. Meanwhile, Citri had also been wandering for hours and had just spotted a ghoul coming around the corner towards her. She doesn't freeze up like Drandar, though. Citri thinks on her feet and comes up with a non-lethal escape plan. She bolts at the ghoul, makes a fist, and hits it in the one place she knows will incapacitate it long enough for her to get away. That's right, she punches him right in the balls with all of her strength. And, unluckily for the monster, Citri gets a critical hit. Drandar doesn't even have time to react when the monster in front of him suddenly charges at him, fists at the ready, and punches him right in the nuts. Drandar screams in pain as the force from the punch causes his balls to explode. That's right, I said his balls exploded. We can only imagine the amount of pain this poor, poor man was in as he lay on the ground watching the ghoul that just ended his family line run off down a dark corridor. I assume the group eventually reunited and found the gem that they had set out to find. And I can only hope that the gem had the ability to repair exploded testicles. But even if it didn't, a set of balls is a small price to pay for the most perfect, amazing homemade necklace that the whole of Etsy has ever seen. The end.
Thanks for listening. If you like D&D podcasts, which clearly you do, be sure to check out one of our favorites, All D20. You can find them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. To submit a fail, visit our website at bedtimefairyfails.com or message me on Instagram or Facebook. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook as Bedtime Fairy Fails.
Well, my name is Luke, and I'm here to say I've been violated in a sexual way, not the way you would want from a friend or a lover. My taste been violated by my staff, motherfucker. The pain is immense, and the feeling makes me sick. At least I hurt my asshole, and I didn't lose my dick. We were trapped in a pit. Escaping was the goal. Instead, I took 10 damage to my tender asshole.